This is Don Goddard in the NBC newsroom in New York, and at this hour the world is awaiting the next communique from the Supreme Allied Command, the next official word on the progress of our invasion. Messages have been received that the communique may be expected very shortly, and we'll bring you that report as soon as it's received. But we've just had new word from another field of battle, from Italy, where General Mark Clark reports that units of the Fifth Army, which passed through Rome, have met only light resistance thus far from the retreating Germans and have advanced now 10 miles beyond the Eternal City. Hundreds of German troops have been trapped by Allied armies in that advance to the Tiber, and one estimate says that 2,000 Nazis were trapped because they couldn't get across the river. And on other sectors of the Italian front, French troops under General Alphonse Juin have crossed Highway No. 5, the main road from Rome to the Adriatic coast. And in the central sector, 8th Army units have pushed back the Germans some 20 miles east of Rome to take up new positions in the mountains. The invasion weather, meanwhile, remains a chief concern of our generals. There was sunshine over the Channel area before 9 o'clock British time this morning, 3 o'clock our time, Eastern wartime, but soon afterward more clouds gathered and there were periods of sun and overcast skies, and cloud banks were massed high over the French coast, especially in the Calais area. During the night, the temperature fell to 47 degrees and then climbed just over 50 at 3 o'clock this morning, Eastern wartime. So far, however, our planes have been able to fly and our ships have been able to shuttle men and materials in an unabated stream. And as a matter of fact, the British again have just dispatched more than 1,000 heavy bombers over the continental beachheads, pouring a stream of explosives upon German reinforcements moving to the fighting front. And then, just as they returned, U.S. daylight raiders headed out across Dover Strait. We take you now for a special broadcast to NBC in London.
Frank McCall speaking from London on the morning of D-Day plus one. It's now 11 a.m., 25 and a half hours after communique number one announced the invasion of Hitler's Europe. At this moment, we are awaiting communique number three, the first report on a full day's operations against the coast of France. Until the forthcoming communique, we have no fresh news here in London headquarters. The prevailing attitude, however, can be described as one of optimism. Needless to say, the morning London papers pulled all stops and claimed the news. The ultra-conservative Times of London carries this two-column heading, "The Great Assault Going Well." And the leading article of the day in the same newspaper has this to say, 4 years after the rescue at Dunkirk, the United Nations returned yesterday with power to the soil of France. The news is good. The three services, welded into a flexible instrument of war under General Eisenhower's supreme direction, have achieved the purposes to which planning of the past 4 years has been slowly leading up. They have already effected a substantial lodgment in the western shores of Europe. This last line, a lodgment on the shores of Europe, is the central theme of feeling here at the moment. We expect communique number three to be available shortly for a broadcast over this network. Now back to NBC in New York.
That was Frank McCall in London, and when Frank McCall says the news is good, I can see his face wreathed in one of those typical Texas smiles, one of Frank McCall's smiles, one the only kind that he can smile, and it's a great big one. So I like to hear Frank say, the news is good. We'll get that later. First, let me tell you a little story before the full story of the invasion is told. We're going to have many sidelight incidents, of course, human touches to color the big news. Today, we already have one such story, one about Prime Minister Churchill, a story told by an Australian correspondent aboard a British battleship who says that it took a lot of persuading to keep Churchill himself from going along when the Allied forces set out on their initial invasion assault. Churchill wanted to go. He wanted to be there in person on that historic occasion when we began the liberation of Europe. And it took some mighty fast talking by some pretty important men to convince Churchill that if he went along, it would be necessary to take a lot of extra precaution, and it might impede the free movement of our units. The Prime Minister was finally convinced, good-naturedly resigned himself to sitting at home and waiting for the news to come to us through official channels. This is Don Goddard in the NBC newsroom in New York.
News of the invasion will continue to have priority over all programs on the National Broadcasting Company. Although we are resuming our regular schedule, every program is subject to interruption or replacement for important news of the developments on the invasion front. And every program will be opened by bulletins concerning the progress of our troops. And now we resume our musical program. From our studios here in Radio City, New York, the NBC Concert Orchestra presents music known and loved through the years. Ari Nosko conducts. He sets first the mood of romance. We hear the famous Romance of Anton Rubinstein.
From London is communique number 3 from General Ike Eisenhower's headquarters, the headquarters for invasion, the supreme command of invasion. Communique number 3 says, Allied forces continued their landings on the north coast of France throughout yesterday, and satisfactory progress has been made. That is the communique from General Ike Eisenhower's headquarters today. And the communique goes on to say, airborne operations were resumed successfully during the night. The news is good, as Frank McCall from London just told us a short time ago.
And once again, we resume our musical program.
Just a moment, please. We take you now to London for a full text of the Allied communique.
This is London. Communique number 3 has just been issued and will now be read by Stanley Richardson. Allied forces continued landings on the northern coast of France throughout yesterday, and satisfactory progress was made. Rangers and commandos formed part of the assaulting forces. No further attempt at interference with our seaborne landings was made by enemy naval forces. These coastal batteries, still in action, are being bombarded by Allied warships. At twilight yesterday, and for the fourth time during the day, our heavy bombers attacked railways, communications, and bridges in the general battle area. There was increased air opposition, and 26 enemy aircraft which attempted to interfere were shot down. One Allied bomber and 17 fighters failed to return from this operation. Other enemy air activity included an attack on our beach forces. This proved abortive, and 4 of a formation of 12 Ju-88 were destroyed. In addition to attacks on defended positions and other objectives,
in immediate support of land operations, railway centers, bridges, military buildings, and communications at Abancourt, Sirtiu, Amiens, and Beer were attacked repeatedly throughout yesterday by our medium and light bombers. Allied fighter bombers and fighters flew low to attack enemy units and motor truck columns. From dawn to dusk, the vast Allied fighter force maintained vigil over our shipping and over the assault area. This air cover was again completely successful. Airborne operations were resumed successfully last night. Coastal aircraft attacked German naval units in the Bay of Biscay. A strong force of heavy night bombers attacked bridges and road and rail communications behind the invasion area, including the junction at Chateau Dune. 13 heavy bombers are missing. Light bombers were also out against the same type of target, and night intruders destroyed 12 enemy aircraft without loss. That concludes the reading of Communique Number 3 from London. Now back to NBC in New York.
That's good news indeed in Communique Number 3 from General Ike Eisenhower's headquarters on how the invasion is going. Success all around for the second day. And now, that was Stanley Richardson from London. Stanley Richardson has just returned, by the way, from having viewed the first landings yesterday on D-Day plus zero. D-Day plus one, he's back in London reading the communique for us, and later on we expect to have him on other programs. This is the NBC Newsroom in New York.
And now we resume our musical program. Ari Nosco conducts the NBC Concert Orchestra now in the stirring strains of the John Philip Sousa March. The Washington Post March. Of all time. Music is the gay and charming minuet. The composer is, of course, Franz Schubert. comedy, the name Sigmund Romberg implies gaiety and charm, music for a mood. Such music is presented now by the NBC Concert Orchestra under the direction of Ori Nosco, Sigmund Romberg's My Maryland.
Thank you.
Now we're going to ask our good friend George Shackler to give us a brief concert at the console of the organ.
National Broadcasting Company.